Today we celebrate the Immaculate Conception. We're celebrating that Mary was conceived without sin, that she, by a singular grace of God, was preserved from original sin from the moment of her conception. We, on the other hand, we need to be baptized in order to be set free from original sin. But this special grace was granted to her so that she could better fulfill her mission here on earth. We might wonder, is there any biblical evidence of the Immaculate Conception? Mary's conception is not explicitly stated in sacred scripture. So is there any support found in the Bible for this teaching? Yes. Actually, there are several biblical passages that support the teaching of the Immaculate Conception. I'll talk about two of them. The first is our gospel, which might sound a little bit confusing, because in our gospel passage, we heard about the Annunciation, that is, the conception of Jesus. However, the important words are spoken by Saint Gabriel. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Now, this might sound like an ordinary greeting to us, but notice he didn't use Mary's name. Instead, he replaced it with a title, or perhaps a new name. He said, full of grace. We know that this wasn't just any ordinary greeting, because we heard how Mary responded to it. She was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. But to help us to better understand this greeting, it's good to know a little bit of Greek. And I apologize in advance for mispronouncing the Greek. I never actually studied Greek. Nuclear engineering, yes. Greek, no. However, the important words were chiare ke kartetomene, which of course means hail full of grace. And these words not only mean full of grace in the sense of currently, as in presently, but it actually has a particular tense that means that this action has taken place in the past and is continuing into its current state. And so perhaps another translation of it could have been, she who has been graced and continues to be full of grace. But if she was not already free from original sin, then she wouldn't be full of grace. She would still need the grace of baptism to be set free from original sin. And so this title that Saint Gabriel gave her reveals that that has already happened in the past and has continued on from that point. The second passage that supports the Immaculate Conception is actually our first reading. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. This is actually a prophecy about the Messiah, but also the mother of the Messiah, who is simply referred to as the woman. The woman and her offspring are in opposition to the serpent. The serpent is the devil. Now, the devil has influence over all those who are suffering from original sin or anyone who has mortal sin. And for them to truly be in opposition, they must not be under his influence, which means that she must not have original sin. Otherwise, she couldn't be in opposition to the devil. And this woman that is simply stated, this mother of the Messiah, is of course Mary. So Mary could not fulfill her mission here on earth to be the mother of God if she was stained by original sin. And the biblical texts that I've talked about have shown in an implicit rather than explicit way that she was free from original sin. And so that supports the teaching that she was spared from it and that she was immaculately conceived.